Hello and welcome to episode 49 of the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly dose of Warhammer goodness. We're nearly episode 50.
That's crazy, that bicentenary episode next week.
Yeah, that's a special episode right there.
Wowzers.
One that you wouldn't want to miss out on, Matt.
Yeah, I'm going to miss that one, sorry.
That's unbelievable. That's shocking. Yeah, How dare you go on holiday?
Yeah, I'm dealing with Skaven in Florida.
Skaven?
Big mice.
Big mice. Anyway, so I am Dave, and I'm once again joined by Matt.
Hello, hello.
And Jay.
Hello.
So we've got a really fun podcast ahead because we have a massive box of goodies in front of us.
We have. It is a huge box as well.
Warhammer, Warcry, it is out. We've got a copy here. We're going to talk about it.
All of those things are going to happen.
Things are going to happen in this podcast. So yeah, looking forward to having a flick through this box. Also on the podcast, we've got a really cool top three.
We have. I've been really impressed with some of the community picks for this one.
Yeah, I think they're better than mine.
But they're better than mine too. They're better than Jay's. He's even got two.
Two. It's quality, not quantity.
You've got until we get to that segment to think of the third one. We just do it as the next segment, shouldn't we? Just throw him off. So our top three this week is based on Matt's talking about the words. Last week, there was the financials from Warhammer, and it was all about they've invested a lot into the studios to make films and series and such business. Yeah. That we decided this week's top three should be our top three programmes we'd like to see, or movies we'd like to see based on the Warhammer franchise.
So some serious ones, some jokey ones thrown in there as well.
I don't know if mine are very serious. I mean, they'd really be awesome if they did any of them, though. So that's all to come later on in the podcast, and we'll also have news very soon. But before all that, let's talk about what we've been doing in the hobby over the past 7 days since last podcast. We'll start with you, Jay, because you've not done it for a while, but you're actually hobbying during the podcast.
That's it. Got the paintbrush back out. So this week I've been working on some of my Wood Elf Blood Bowl. And we're also going to, we talked about last week, the Purple Sparkly Unicorns Warhammer 40k event in
September, something, 13th maybe?
September 8th, is it, or something like that? Can't remember now. Check the website.
8th.
I think it's the 8th, yeah. So I decided I was going to take my Ultramarines. So I've got a small force of Ultramarines that I've been painting on and off for the last couple of years, since the Primaries came out. It was 2017, was it? So I thought, oh, well, this is a good opportunity to try and get that up to 1,250 points. And it was good timing.
It was very good timing.
As we'll find out during the news.
Yes. So I'm currently putting the finishing touches on my second squad of intercessors. That's it.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to building the Corvus Caballo.
Yes. Though you should be getting those on Saturday, if the postman's kind.
Yeah, so I think I'll be putting Ultramarines down for a little bit to get those built.
I'm really impressed with how well your new Marines match up to your original painted Marines.
Yeah.
Obviously using contrast now.
I'm not using contrast.
Oh, I thought you were using contrast.
No.
He specifically wasn't using contrast.
Yeah.
Did I miss that part?
You did miss that part.
Sorry. I was listening, I promise.
Yeah, these are following the box art style Ultramarines.
So. I think with a project you're halfway through, I've got a book with all my schemes down. I think it is worth sticking to the original scheme. Otherwise, depending on the army, demons you can probably get away with, but you know, something regimented like Marines, you really want to try and keep the consistency of the colour scheme.
Yeah.
Cool. Matt, what have you been working on?
Well, I have. I think the last time I mentioned that I had a Start Collecting Slaves to Darkness box. I built some of that, and I've been painting a War Queen and Dark Oath Chieftain as well.
Cool.
Don't think I've even shown you guys yet.
No, I've not seen that.
We saw some very early pictures.
Yeah, so I've been putting sort of tester colours on them. I've built the Cypher Lords, and I've started building the scenery from Warcry. There is a lot of plastic in the Warcry box, as we'll see later on in the podcast. I've been working my way through the box. It's been a busy week, so I'm probably not going to get a chance to build it all for a couple of weeks, but if I can nail as much as I can the next few days, then at least I have a gang ready to fight in the 8 points when I get back.
Excellent. That's really good. Well, this is going to be a really short section for me because I don't think I've done anything.
You've done nothing?
I have done absolutely nothing.
You've let the side down, Dave.
I really have. I've had a bit of a hobby drought. It's not from lack of wanting to do it. It's just I don't know what army I want to take to this 40k tournament yet, so I've not done anything to do with that. I was going to paint Dwarf for Blood Bowl, but then he went and announced something in the news, which I think I'm going to get instead. So I didn't really feel painting the Dwarfs. I haven't seen you, Matt, to be able to build any of the Iron Golems to do them for Warcry.
No. And your soul's pledged to Khorne now as well.
And yeah, I'm selling some stuff to be able to fund my new Khorne force. Yeah. So yeah, I've literally had a week of zero hobby.
In this situation, Dave, perhaps you should have got some scenery out and painted some scenery.
You know, that's a really good idea, because I have got lots of scenery to paint.
You know, just if you're in between, you're waiting for models.
I could have done with that information.
Scenery's really quick to paint. 7 days ago. Mind to it.
Yeah.
Why did you not say that to me 7 days ago? Why did you wait till today?
Well, by the time I come back in 2 weeks, I expect there to be a load of scenery, a war cry band, your army for the event, and a load of Khorne done.
Yeah, okay. So just 2 weeks.
Easy.
3 weeks.
You'll have to make up for my lack of painting the next 2 weeks.
That's it, isn't it? Totally. So yeah, hopefully I'll have a much better segment next week. But that rounds up our introduction to this podcast. As I mentioned earlier, we've got our top three later on and our feature on Warcry, but first of all, we have the news. We mentioned on last week's news that there were two reveals coming up. They're going to be featured in this new segment, aren't they?
They are.
They are indeed. Matt, do you want to run through the news?
So, Dave mentioned we had two reveals over the last week. I think they were just after the podcast last time.
Yeah.
One of them was. The second one, and this is a weird order, but I'm sticking with it. The second one was on Saturday at the Apocalypse event at Warhammer World. They announced a brand new Space Marine Codex coming out. Fast forwarding to the pre-orders for Saturday, we've got a new Space Marine Codex coming out.
Sorry, Jay.
No, go on, Dave.
I was just going to say, is this the quickest turnaround we've seen from reveal to...
A day? Yeah, I'd say so.
It was crazy. I mean, we always sort of knew Space Marines would be coming with a new Space Marine Codex, because the Black Legion, the Chaos Marines got theirs, there were some new units out of Shadow Spear.
January now, wasn't it?
It was Shadow a long time Spear. Ago, yeah. So we were expecting it, and I think we were expecting to perhaps see some Space Marines sort of revealed at Gen Con, but I thought they were going to be near Christmas when we actually got them. I couldn't believe they were up for pre-order the
day.
They did
say on the reveal post that they were coming very soon.
And all reveals are within 3 months as well, so it's
not a day.
Not a day. So, all for pre-order on Saturday is a new Chaos Space Marines Codex.
No, the new Space Marine Codex.
Yeah, I've got Chaos Space Marines in mind. New Codex Space Marines.
I suppose he's a heretic.
It is true. You know what? I put something on Twitter earlier. I was having a think, and I've never actually done a Loyalist Space Marine army.
You've painted probably two Imperial Fists.
Five Imperial Fists.
Five Imperial Fists.
Whenever I did a Space Marine army back years and years and years ago, before the Horus Heresy game was out, but I painted them as pre-Heresy Emperor's Children, so technically I've never done a Loyalist army.
Wow.
I think everybody needs a Loyalist Space Marine army. They are the iconic...
I've got an Ultramarines army.
Yeah, my brother had Blood Angels. My brother had Dark Angels. They're debatable, but yeah, I've never done Loyalists, so I'm going to put that to rights with this new book. And I'm torn. I like the Imperial Fists because they look cool. I kind of want a stealthy army because the new kits play to that.
Raven Guard.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Raven Guard scheme.
Why don't you do like an Imperial Fist 10th Company? So. Black armour, but with the yellow shoulder pads and the yellow...
Yeah, I don't like the black armour.
Oh, you still like black armour,
yeah,
right?
The yellow armour looks cool. So, Imperial Fists. There'll be a super stealthy branch of the Imperial Fists, that particular...
You mean that chap that's really good at siege warfare?
Yeah, that one. The one that likes walls and stuff. Isn't going to have any walls. But yeah, new Codex Space Marines, £25, which is cheap as far as codexes go of that size.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may be a little bit more expensive to play a Space Marine army, but we'll get to that in a moment. Alongside this, there's some data cards for £10. There is Codex Ultramarines for £17.50.
Codex 0.5 or something.
What's going to be in this, though? I mean, it's that's expensive for what I think is just going to be a couple of characters and your chapter tactics.
You'll have your chapter tactics, you'll have chapter relics, You'll probably have chapter-specific stratagems. You'll have your special characters.
Tyran War veterans, weren't they, Ultramarines?
Tyranic War veterans.
Really old models now, though, aren't they?
Yeah. We could build them with the Vanguard kit. Yeah. The Sterngard kit, which everyone has. Yeah, this is it. £17.50 does seem quite a lot for these mini codexes. But, you know, might have a lot of lore in there, maybe.
Yeah, I hope
I don't think will be in there is all the stuff out of Codex Space Marines. You will need these two books if you want to pay a...
Definitely.
Yeah, a codex, yeah. Space Marine chapter.
Definitely.
Chief Librarian Tigerius, £25.
He's
been Primarchized.
Primarisized. I think it's the Rubicon Primaris, isn't it? I think in the lore, Marnus Calgar was the first original Astartes to go through that process, and he died during the process. They managed to revive him. And they said, right, it's possible then. We can turn regular Space Marines into Primaries. So then what we're starting to see now is all of the old characters, which people love, getting new models and new Primaries stat lines. So I think this will be the beginning. I think potentially you're going to be looking at Captain Lysander for the Imperial Fist, turning into a Primaris Marine.
Dante.
And these are old models. Dante especially is a very old model. You've got Grimaldus, Helbrecht.
Azrael,
Dark Angels. It gives them a chance to, you know, we're not throwing away the old characters and the old background, reimagining them and bringing them into line with the new Primaris stuff. So that's good, I think.
And then there's going to be some data cards for the Ultramarines at £10. So if you want to play Ultramarines, you might need two sets of data cards, which, again, is a little bit...
I don't know if that's... Whereas I completely 100% agree you'll need the Codex and your Codex Ultramarines... I wonder if the data cards will be, because I think the Ultramarines will have specific stratagems.
Yeah, but they might presumably be able to use Adeptus Astartes stratagems as well.
Mm.
We don't know yet, but something tells me Games Workshop likes money. You might have to buy two decks of cards.
Mm.
Unless they put the generic Astartes ones in the same box, in which case, that's a better deal.
Yeah.
There's also some dice for £20. There's also Codex White Scars. Again, £17.50, same price as the Ultramarine one, which is, again, presumably the less new units than the Ultramarines one, unless there's stuff that we haven't seen yet. Or they create some unique units in there using existing kits.
Yeah, I mean, the White Scars have always been one of the least supported chapters, really, the least fluffed out chapters. There's only a recent Space Marine Codex that added Kisaru Khan in, I think it was the 7th edition or 6th edition one, with the model, which is quite a nice model, actually. And it's Kisaru Khan is coming out with this one.
Yeah, Kisaru Khan, again, awesome model with a massive 6-foot tall eagle, somebody calculated based on the size of the model.
Jeez. But this is it's an interesting choice for the first, well, Ultramarines was an obvious one. White Scars. Well,
we've mentioned Ultramarines in the past that we kind of predicted that there'd be Ultramarines Codex at some point. White Scars a bit out there, really.
Yeah, it is.
Imperial Fists I'd have put money on before White Scars.
I would have put Iron Hands first because saw the Iron Hands character.
The Tech Marine, yeah.
Yeah, White Scars, they're like the mobile ones, so they traditionally use a lot of bikes, land speeders, razor bikes, rhinos. The current Primaris thing is all Vanguard and stealthy and scouting, so perhaps Raven Guard would have been a more suitable
fit. Raven Guard would fit the new stuff that we've seen coming as well. But we're not complaining about White Scars. I've always had a soft spot for White Scars.
I think you're right. Maybe we'll see in the White Scars Codex Space Marine Bikers, but special Space Marine Bikers that have got a better stat line.
It wouldn't surprise me. It's using the existing kit, but they are White Scars bikes, so they get these extra rules.
Plus maybe. Two movement.
Or it's just got a handful of special characters and most of it's fluff and, stories, background.
But you have to get it because it's got all your chapter tactics and stuff in it.
Yeah.
I mean, they announced today the White Scars rules, and I think the White Scar rules have changed so they can advance and charge now. So they do look quite powerful, especially with the buffs we've seen to Primaris Marines in general. Space Marines in general.
Yeah. I like that all these... I think there's going to be 6 in total... Codex Space Marine supplements.
Yeah.
Which we were having a bit of a think about this before the podcast, and White Scars, Ultramarines, Imperial Fists, Salamanders,
Iron Hands,
Raven Guard, I guess are the obvious ones.
Yeah.
Black
Templars, yeah.
Mm.
So I think it's a good thing. The only downside is it's now looking closer to £40-odd for your rules for the army.
Which is probably why you say the Space Marine Mega Codex is
slightly cheaper.
Slightly cheaper.
So, yeah, I mean, it swings and roundabouts. I think it's a good thing. It definitely helps the game having supplements, I think, for those specialisms rather than just being a single page in the codex.
Yeah, I think it's always going to have its positives and negatives.
Yeah,
I think for proper, you know, if you're a Nick Baton who just can't get enough Ultramarines,
having you buy the collector's edition of it.
Yeah, you're gonna go all in on the Ultramarines, and you'll want that extra book with all the extra lore and extra shiny images and rules.
If, however, you want to create your own chapter, there's rules in the base book to do such a thing. Which I think is quite cool.
Yeah, they used to have this in one of the... It might have been a 6th edition Space Marine Codex, where you could take... it was a combination of buffs and weaknesses that you made your chapter. So you could take so many out of one column and you know...
Do you know the first thing that came to my head when I saw this making your own chapter rules? A while ago, we had a tweet that went... Well, it wasn't even our tweet, really, but it went viral, and that was the McDonald's chapter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I should really make those.
Yeah.
So all this stuff is up for pre-order on Saturday. Presumably, we've got some new kits following this. Now, as part of the reveal that we mentioned, they showed off a load of new kits coming for the Space Marines. And we had some more details about them in Warhammer Community today.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, we have got the Infiltrator and Incursor dual box, building two new units. The Infiltrators we've previously seen in Shadowsphere. The Incursors are a new unit. They are stealthy dudes who specialise in taking out entrenched things. So you don't get any bonus to your cover save. A bit like Imperial Fist chapter tactic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, guys in Camerline cloaks, they don't care. They can take you out. Guys entrenched in trenches? Basically, they specialise it ignoring the benefit of cover.
I like the one that looked like he was carrying a big landmine.
Well, that landmine is a haywire mine. They can plant these, and anything coming nearby takes D3 mortal wounds. Warhammer Community suggested taking multiple small units of these and minefielding an area of the battlefield. Perhaps an objective.
Yeah.
So that'd be pretty cool. We have got the Impulsor, a flying rhino, finally. This is a transport with a capacity of 6, and it looks amazing.
It does look nice.
So it's not going to be able to carry your bigger units, but I think 5 in a character is a good number for Primaris Marines.
Yeah, well, the other transports that Primaris Marines currently have are 6 as well. Their Repulsor is 6, so... and I think with Primaris, small units of 5 is what you want.
I was going to say, Italians. Old tactical Marines you see in squads of 10, didn't you? Mainly because you could get that missile launcher in there.
Yeah.
But Primaris, you generally see wandering around in units of 5.
And you've got the equivalent wounds in a 5-man unit
as
well.
You do, yeah.
So this is really cool. So this has got two options. You can either give it a 4+ invulnerable save, which is fairly mental, or it can take some kind of satellite rig that calls down an orbital bombardment. You pick a point on the battlefield, anywhere on the battlefield. You measure an aura of D6 inches. Everything within that range takes D3 mortal wounds on a 4+.
Is that once per battle?
No, every shooting phase. I think it's -1 for heroes, so they're hit on a 5+, but still... Really good way of sniping out, before taking off the odd wound off something.
Mm.
Whether that's better than a 4+ invulnerable save, I don't know. You might have a combination of them in your army.
The thing with what's good about 4+ invulnerable save is if you want to get your troops onto the objective, almost guarantees that your tank's going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can charge the tank into combat with a 4+ invulnerable save.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it seems a pretty good tank. And it's essentially, I say Rhino, it's more of a Razorback, really, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's got guns.
If you use the guns, you can't use the orbital bombardment. I suppose that's the downside to that.
Yeah.
I suppose that's something that people have been crying out for a while, another transport for the Primaris Marines.
Well, it is a proper transport. It's not a mega battle tank with a bit of transport in there. This is a proper transport.
Which is really cool. Yeah. My favourite release... from this, though, is the Invocator Tactical Warsuit. Take a Redemptor Dreadnought, strip off all the armour, give it stealth technology. It can deploy anywhere on the battlefield out of sight. It is a super stealthy Dreadnought. It's technically not a Dreadnought, but a super stealthy warsuit that sneaks up on people and then shoots them in the face with a pistol that you can model in the Dreadnought's hand.
Yeah. It's a heavy bolter, which is a pistol for a Dreadnought.
Yep, in close combat it becomes a heavy 3 pistol.
Yeah.
So you can shoot people in the face with it.
I have seen so many images of this compared to Aliens.
Aliens, Avatar.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely got a James Cameron vibe to it, hasn't it?
Yeah. I fell in love with this model. I want like two or three of them in my army. I think they look great. I don't know how good two or three of them will be, but I just think they look so
I imagine
cool.
They'll be quite low point, low wounds, lower points than a Dreadnought.
Yeah, like Sentinels almost.
You know, they're not. The guy riding it is not really armoured. He's just wearing just normal suit and a harness over him. So
he's wearing power armour.
He's got power armour, he's fine. But presumably it'll be less tough than a Dreadnought.
Yeah, less wounds, less tough, yeah.
But this thing, if it can deploy anywhere on the battlefield using the same rule as the Infiltrators, then this is going to be something that's going to be pestering the enemy turn one.
Yeah.
You know, contesting objectives and stuff early on, it's going to be a really good unit. And yeah, I want like three of these things. I wonder if they can go in squads.
Yeah, maybe cool. Like squadrons, yeah.
We've also got the Infiltrators. Again, we've seen these in Shadow Spear. They're really cool.
I like these models. These models I prefer to the Reaver models. I think I wasn't a massive fan of the Reaver models with the skull helmets. Which, you know, subjective, everyone's different.
I really like the Reavers.
Yeah, well, these ones remind me a lot of the Reavers, but they have a more sensible look about them. The helmets look more like traditional Space Marine helmets.
The point of the Reavers was the Terror Troops. Yeah. They gave, like, leadership debuffs and stuff.
Yeah.
They didn't really kind of gel with that vibe, though, did they? If they were, like, a dedicated close combat unit, I think that would have made more sense.
Yeah, that's one thing they do struggle with. Although they've got, like, they can give them combat knives or shotguns, they're not really a shooter unit, but they're not really a close combat unit. And now the Vanguard have come out, they've kind of lost part of the reason.
Yeah, I also like with these guys, the Infiltrators, some of the parts you get in the box that's coming, there's a cool helmet, which is a bit bigger, and he's got like a satellite dish on his backpack. It's like a throwback to, do you know, in the Horus Heresy series, I can't remember what the name of the model is, but he has a bigger helmet, a bit like the comms guy. He looks really smart.
Well, to represent all that comms stuff, these guys always count as in range of a captain or lieutenant, which is pretty cool.
So they can act out on their own, yeah.
Which makes sense because they're getting deployed ahead of lines, and yeah, I prefer these than the normal, what are they called, intercessors, the standard dudes?
Intercessors are your standard tactical marine, yeah.
So, and the battle line, if I remember rightly, as well.
They are battle line. They're currently quite expensive. They're more expensive than these guys, the Infiltrators, at the moment, but that might change in a new book.
Yeah.
I think they have a cool ability. They've got like an apothecary built into the squad, so they can recover models as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I suppose all this, like with the communications and the apothecary, it's because they're going to be out on their own.
Self-sufficient.
Yeah. Self-sufficient. That's a good term.
And then the last new unit that we've seen details of today are the Eliminators. Now, these were the awesome-looking sniper guys.
Yeah, I really like these.
They have revealed a new weapon option, the Laz Fusil. It is a heavy 1, strength 8, AP minus 3, damage 3, gun of dreams.
Yeah, I want some
tank killing.
Tank killing, yeah. You know, a squad of three of them will annihilate a tank.
Yeah.
What's really cool, though, if you charge them, they get to overwatch and then make a move.
Hmm.
Potentially moving out of charge range.
That's cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I like that. Almost towish.
Now, I believe the squad leader has to swap their last fusel for a carbine, so you've got less shots coming in, but it's pretty cool to keep them, you know, keep them skirting at the edges of charge range. If someone's silly enough to charge them, they're not getting a charge off, and you've got some three shots as well.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So yeah, there's some really cool stuff, and that's why I'm thinking kind of a scouty army, because all this cool stuff fits that kind of vibe more so than, you know, Imperial Fist Siege Tactics doesn't really gel with that, because that's not how they fight.
Make your own chapter. I think that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah, I think so too.
We've not seen, unless I've missed it, the suppressors.
No, they're not mentioned in this article. They're pictured in some of the photos. So whether, again, this is a couple of weeks' releases and they come later on.
Yeah. I remember reading, because currently suppressors have some sort of autocannon, and I remember reading there was, in the Apocalypse book,
they're getting like a last cannon.
There was a last something.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. So yeah, presumably they're coming too. I'm guessing all this stuff's the following week. But yeah, probably August is going to be Space Marine heavy.
Yeah, so this coming Saturday, you've got the book, the dice, the cards, the two special characters. And then, yeah, like you say, probably the week after, we'll see all these kits.
Do you think we'll see a terrain piece?
Don't know. It's not really something that we've seen in 40K.
Apart from the recently Chaos. The Chaos Space Marines.
And the Genes of the Corsair as well.
And the Orcs.
Yeah, this is true, actually. So maybe.
Could that rumour engine that we saw today with the Aquila sort of base. Could that be it, maybe?
Would you expect that in the first wave of releases, though? Is that something that everyone needs in their army?
With the book, yeah, I don't know.
We'll see, we'll see. So, obviously, there's a lot of stuff coming. We don't know if there's anything else coming after that, but, yeah, exciting time if you're a Space Marine player. Custom chapters, new abilities, all sorts of cool stuff. Non-Codex chapters also get all those new units, and there's going to be FAQs to smooth some of the edges of, obviously, we've got the transition between the old book and the new book.
For those of you who are fans of the Death Watch, an army that I've skirted around creating, I did notice today on this article, right at the bottom, because it mentions specifically Space Wolves, Dark Angels, Blood Angels, get access to all these cool new units. At the bottom of the page, Grey Knights and Death Watch are getting FAQ'd and getting the new Repulsor variant, but it mentions nothing about the rest of the new units.
So that suggests that they're not getting this new stuff.
That does suggest that. So we'll see. They are going to get the special rule, so the Shock Assault rule, where it's plus one attacks.
If you get charged, or charge yourself.
Or you're charged. So they're getting that, as well as Heretic Astartes. But yeah, all your Eliminators and your Infiltrators and your new Rhino tank, that I wouldn't get your hopes up.
No, that's a shame. But they, again, could be, they're more kind of specialist Marine armies, aren't they? So
especially Grey Knights.
They'll probably get new stuff when they eventually get a new book. But yeah, at the minute, it is a shame.
Yeah. They should at least change it so the Corvus Blackstar can carry Primaris.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen that with the other kind of transports,
know,
though.
But it sucks.
So, yeah, but that is not all the reveals that we saw at the Apocalypse event.
No.
There is a new starter set for Kill Team coming out.
Yep.
Pitting Primaris Reavers, Space Wolf Reavers, yeah, versus Tau.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a bit of an echo of the original Kill Team box. The slight downer is, rather than the new Imperialis scenery, you get the Sector Mechanica scenery, which is still really nice scenery, but it's slightly less value than the original box that you could get.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, they sold so many of that original box. Yeah. This is going to be something that's going to come in and stay in.
Yeah. And, you know, that Sector Mechanica scenery is really nice as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've got the rule book and two little kill teams to get started, which is, you know, a good thing. It surprised me that they've kept it so long without having this as a box game you can buy, because this is a, you know, Christmas slash birthday kind of present for people getting into the hobby, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Good entry point. So that's coming soon-ish. We also saw a teaser for something called Psychic Awakening.
Now, you think this is Endless Spells 40k style.
I would put money on this being Endless, but I think this is going to be a reimagining of Dark Millennium. Now, Dark Millennium was an expansion for 2nd edition 40k that introduced war gear and psychic powers.
Mm.
And there's lots of callbacks to old stuff at the minute in the studio, isn't there?
There is.
And, I mean, that is essentially what what is it called?
Malign sorcery
is.
Yeah.
It's artifacts and spells.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same thing. Have some generic psychic manifestations, whatever you want to call them, included in the box. And then, you know, maybe in future releases for armies, the Eldari are a good shout for this.
Yeah.
Have a endless spell style box that comes out alongside the range. Now, the logo for this is the icon of the Adeptus Astra Telepathica, who I don't think we've seen much of recently. They generally look after the, what's it called? The Astronomicon, and feeding the psychic souls into that. I believe the Sisters of Silence report to them, and there's a Titan Legion that fall under them as well.
And you've got one guy in the Imperial Guard army.
And one guy in the Imperial Guard. Oh, the Primaris Psyche.
No, there's an Astropath, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Is that Astas?
I think that's the Primaris Psyche, isn't it?
No.
No, the Primaris, yeah, guy. There is a different guy, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Navigators as well fall under these.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely something psychic, well, psychic awakening. So, psychic power related, I think. There's going to be a big lore event, I reckon, around this. We do know, spoilers, because it's been like 6 months now since Vigilus. Abaddon is en route to Terra in the what's it called?
Planet Killer.
The Planet Killer, yeah. So, chances are, shoring up defences, the end of Vigilus, the Astra Telepathica get they're reading the runes and they see signs of the planet killer heading to Terra. So whether this ties into that and they're shoring up the defenses.
It does also mention in the bit about the psychic awakening that it affects all factions.
Yeah, in the same way that malign sorcery affects all factions, but Khorne.
Yeah,
I think that's
That's Tau aren't going to benefit much from it.
But if there's relics in there, they will.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't expect non-psychers to get psychic stuff, but in some way everyone will be affected.
Tau might get a new pulse rifle that
shoots targets spells.
Psychers.
Maybe.
Blows the brains.
So we don't know when that's coming. It was just a little teaser. That might be a bit further out. But yeah, that seems like a thing that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
Whether that could be tied to a new edition of the game, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, it's generally 3 to 4 years new edition. I think we're on the third year of this edition.
Yeah.
Time has really flown.
Yeah.
It has, yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me, because we saw the same with Malign Portents, prefaced the new edition of the game.
AOS 2.0.
So, yeah, so who knows? It wouldn't surprise me if we get a new edition, especially with the power ramp we've seen in this Marine Codex.
Yeah. Yeah, it does look like it's a very powerful Codex.
But yeah, we shall see. That wasn't the only reveal, though. Rewinding back in time, because due to the ridiculous speed of this release, I jumped ahead. At Gen Con, we saw a few reveals as well. So, first off the bat was Aeronautica Imperialis. Now, this was an old game by Forgeworld back in the day, pitting epic 40k scale flyers against each other. It used the full range of epic models at the time, obviously their aircraft. And yeah, it was a cool little game. I don't think it had a massive following, but it was a bit of a cult classic.
It was a bit like X-Wing, wasn't it, if I remember right?
Yeah, that kind of thing, but leaning more on the kind of epic rules.
Yeah.
Well, this is getting a new edition in the form of Wings of Vengeance, a starter box featuring the Imperium versus Orcs.
Yeah.
It is set in the current timeline as well, which is good, because a lot of the specialist games are set in the Heresy.
I like as well that this has got a Xenos race in it right from the outset.
And they have mentioned that this is going to be supported, there will be expansions, so you may get your Eldar Flyer expansion of your dreams.
Yeah.
It looks cool. I'm going to pick it up with the models or case.
They look really detailed. And the plastic as well, aren't they?
The plastic, we don't know the scale yet, whether they're going to be scaled with Adeptus Titanicus. I'm guessing probably not. Yeah. I think they're more similar to X-Wing, more a representative scale rather than actual scale.
Yeah.
Just so you've got a cool token. Because things are moving at such ridiculous speeds, these are going to be like miles away from each other.
Yeah, they are.
And it's got a board. It looks more of a board game setup than the original, which was more like a miniatures game. Whether this starts as a starter set board game, then gets expanded into a full miniatures game, even if it does have a crossover with Titanicus, because again, relative scale will work with flyers, because it did in Epic.
I think Adeptus Titanicus X... this Aeronautica, is it Aeronautica?
Yeah,
I think would be awesome.
Yeah,
like, these flying around Titans and stuff, yeah, that'd be so cool,
because that's it. They're just representative of a fighter shooting across the thing. You've got a bigger battlefield, where that was the problem with flyer roars in previous editions of 40k, where they're not going to be hovering around like gunships, are they? They're screaming past at the speed of sound.
Yeah,
so I think in an epic scale game that works better. Aeronautica is more about the gunfighting and reaction, so it's going to be more of a, I think more like X-Wing, a bit of rock, paper, scissors, where you both secretly issue a manoeuvre and then play it off against each other.
I really like X-Wing. I miss playing X-Wing, so yeah, I've got high hopes for this.
Again, we don't know when this out, but it looks really cool. They also announced something that we'd seen teased at the Age of Sigmar Open Day, Warhammer Underworlds Beastgrave.
Yay.
So the brand new starter set for Warhammer Underworlds, pitting Grashrax Despoilers, a Beastman warband who looked really, really cool.
Yeah. Proper beastie looking Beastman. Yeah.
These are the first Age of Sigmar Beastmen they've done,
yeah,
and they look really cool.
Yeah, really like the Brave Shaman.
Against Scarath's Wild Hunt, a new race for Age of Sigmar called the Kurnothi.
So Wood Elf inspired, but with a twist.
Yeah.
Half beast, half wood elf.
There's echoes of the beastmen in there. They've all got hooves.
Yeah.
There's definitely beast elements in
there. You've got the centaur.
They're clearly creatures of a magical nature, in the same way that beast men are humans crossed with beasts mutated with chaos.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, the clues in the title of the Kurnothi, that clearly old Orion's still kicking around somewhere.
When I first saw these models, that's what the first thing that came to me was Orion. Obviously, we've had the news with a lot of the Games Workshop Age of Sigmar Light. Well, not a lot of it, but a lot of the old models now going Legends. So your Glade Guard, all your old Wood Elf models. The Wanderers list is now looking a lot smaller than it was. This is the reimagined Wood Elf.
Yeah, and you know what? There's been lots of love for these on Twitter. I mean, I think the problem with the Wood Elves is they are kind of generic elves, aren't they?
Yeah.
This is something uniquely Age of Sigmar. And if they did an army, a lot of people would buy these.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have got a lot. I mean, I think I slightly prefer the Beastman out of the two warbands. Ah. Yeah, personally.
I can just see this working as an army. You've got your War Dancer equivalent looking guy. You've got your archer equivalent looking guy. You've got your cavalry in the form of the centaurs. I think they'd be a really cool Wood Elf style
army. And they're so much more mystical. So much more with the Mortal Realm spirit at the moment.
These are really cool. And I think, you know, Sylvaneth are now a completely different thing than these Kurnothi, which is cool.
I mean, there's obviously a tie there because of the Kurnothi, Kurnoth Hunters.
Yeah.
They do have that Wood Elf look about them. So there'll be some relationship, I think, with the Sylvaneth. But I don't know.
It's worth noting there's a tie-in novel getting released at the same time that does have a Dryad branch something or other on the cover as
well. Yeah, this is interesting because this doesn't look like any other Sylvaneth model currently available, but it's definitely a Dryad looking thing.
It looks like a Dryad hero, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I mean that could hint at something new coming for Sylvaneth down the line. Yeah. Or
I mean it might just be artistic license. It could be a branch witch or something.
It could be, yeah.
But yeah, it definitely looks different.
And every time you say Kurnothi, I think of Banoffee.
Banoffee.
Just my stomach getting involved.
Definitely. Then the last reveal we saw at Gen Con, I know Dave's very excited about. The Guacamole Crater Gators.
Yeah, I love these.
So lizard men for Blood Bowl.
Yeah, I think this is my Blood Bowl team. If you listened to last week's podcast, I was very torn about what Blood Bowl team I was going to go for. I think it's going to be these guys.
I love the skinks in this one. They look different than current skinks. They've got like bigger eyes. They almost look a bit like World of Warcraft and Murlocs.
They mention that they're chameleon skinks.
Right, okay.
It's all about those chameleons.
We haven't got a plastic kit for in Sigmar yet.
There isn't
a
plastic kit for Sigmar, no.
So again, like we've seen, I suppose, we thought with the Wood Elf team for Blood Bowl, we might see hints of Sigmar, but I suppose maybe not so more. We've got the Kurnothi. My favourite miniature in this box is the little chameleon skink. Catching the ball with his tongue.
Yeah.
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 I think my favourite model in this box is the Slan.
Turn counter.
Turn counter, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really, really good. And again, each Blood Bowl kit seems to be kind of more and more options.
The only thing I hope with these guys is because we're so close to starting this Blood Bowl League, these best get a move on and get out soon.
Yeah. I mean, we've got rules for the Lizardmen already, so you could always proxy them or use them for the time being.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the Guacamole Crater Gators, whoever named them deserves a pay rise because that's genius. It's keeping the old school Lizardmen always had joke names, didn't they?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, tic tac toe.
Tic tac toe. Itsy bitsy.
Yeah.
Oh, your whole team's going to have joke names, Dave.
Fine. No problem at all. Absolutely no issue with me.
And then the last bit of news, Jay kind of mentioned a lot of the old Free People's units have disappeared from the web store. Most of them are sold out. Some of them are still last chance to order. Games Workshop have confirmed on their Facebook that these disappearing units will not be in the upcoming Cities of Sigmar book.
There are some big surprises in this for me. Empire General on Horse, gone. Yep. Swordmasters, gone. I really wanted to pick up it because my Witch Hunter model has got a slightly broken sword and I've been meaning for ages to buy a new one because I love that model. He's gone as well.
Yeah.
And he's sold out as well.
Dispossessed are gone. Like Jay says, a lot of the Wanderers are gone.
The Dispossessed actually weren't hit that hard.
The Dwarf Warriors, yeah. But
the Thunderers and the Quarrelers, they've gone. The
Cannon's gone.
Oh, and the Cannon, yeah. And the Organ gone.
This surprised me a lot because the only a few weeks ago the mercenary companies was announced and the organ gun and the cannon were a big part of that.
Yeah, the cannon's surprising.
Now that's not to say that all these are legends, just that they're not in the Cities of Sigmar list, so you might be able to still use them in a dispossessed army list. Or a wanderer's army.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get the advantages of the new battle tome.
No, and I think it pretty much, there's no dispossessed battle tome coming anymore. There's no wanderer's battle tome coming anymore. I don't think
we'll see It's the same as these Knuth, the reimagining of the Wanderers. I think we'll see a new land-based Dwarden army.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. With new cannons, new war machines.
Yeah, because I suppose what you could think about is the old Dwarven cannons are just that, aren't they? They're very oldie-worldy. Yeah. They're not very fantasy.
To be fair, this is something that they've needed to do for a while. Call the old stuff. I know it's painful for everyone attached to the game. Interestingly, that a lot of the Dark Elf kits are still there.
A lot of them were newish, though, weren't they?
They are, yeah.
That also suggests to me that the Dark Elf faction might be coming along a bit sooner than...
The Shadow Elves that we've heard rumoured probably fold in a lot of those Dark Elf kits because they kind of work with that kind of aesthetic, don't they?
Yeah.
Where the High Elves and the Wood Elves... We know that Teclis' faction are angelic creatures. They're not really High Elves. They might have, you know, armour stylings that match, but they're going to be, you know, Angels of Light or something cool like that. And obviously the Kernothi are, you know, very different than the old Elves. So it's a shame to see kits go, but... I think it's good for the game to have new stuff.
I think I'm quite optimistic. I think it paves the way for new stuff coming for those factions. It has thrown a bit of a spanner in the works for me, then, because I was contemplating building a Wanderer's army with the Cities of Sigmar book that was coming out. Now, with the Wanderer's line being reduced, I'm thinking I'm going to park that project, and I think I'll pick up the Kenofi when they...
I think the Cities of Sigmar is going to be a core of free peoples with... dwarves or elves to taste from a limited selection.
Yeah.
And you know the saddest part of these things that are going? There's one miniature which I think just incorporated the old Warhammer Fantasy, and that's the Warrior Priest.
Yeah.
He was so iconic of Warhammer Fantasy, he's gone.
But we've got the new Sigmarite Priest out of Silver Tower to replace that.
He's not as cool, though.
He's got a griff out there.
Yeah, but he's not as cool. Sorry, Matt, but he's not as cool.
Well, on that bombshell.
Yeah, and on that, me and Matt will continue disagreeing whilst we have a pause. But we're going to be coming back with our major feature this week, and that is the Warcry unboxing.
Yeah.
So, we have in front of us, the lid has been lifted on this massive box of plastic. It is Warcry, and it is out.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned we did a separate unboxing of this on the YouTube channel, and it is a big old box of goodies, isn't it?
It's basically just a box full of solid plastic. I've never seen a box full of sprues as jam-packed as this one.
It's £100, but I think it's one of the best value boxes they've done just for contents.
You've got about 3 millimetres of space in this box. They could have fit just an extra line of tokens, and then it would have been full. Just something to bear in mind for the future, G-dubs, you know, if you want to fill your boxes.
I'm just going in, Dave.
You're going in. Now, we'll have the YouTube video linked in the description so you'll be able to see Matt unboxing. But this is the first time me and Jay have gone into this box, so we're literally just going to talk about this as we're going through the box.
Yeah, the shrink wrap was ripped off just before we started recording, and I'm going to sit back and let these guys explore and enjoy all the goodies that are in this box.
So I'm currently looking at the... I think these are the Furies. It's pronounced Furies.
Chaotic Beasts, yeah. The Furies and the Raptorixes come on their own sprue.
You're right, I'm looking at the...
These are like the
Raptorix.
These are like the bird things, aren't they?
They're all, you get two duplicate frames with three of each creature on. And that's because in the game you only need one or two creatures in your warband.
Yeah.
Obviously you can use a unit in Sigmar, but it's an interesting way of packaging them. And it's definitely aimed at Warcry rather than a Sigmar unit that's been boxed into this.
Yeah, these are really cool. I really like the Furies. I think they're ace. I definitely think they could do with maybe a full kit of their own, potentially, when a new Slaves to Darkness book comes out.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool. I think these are the same sprues I've just looked at, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a three-part sprue.
Yeah, that's really cool. Is that the same guys again?
And then these aren't easy fit models, are they?
No, they're
all
proper kits.
Yeah.
I think Jay has got down here
that's one of the warbands.
Now these are the guys I've been looking forward to. The Iron Golem, so these are like your really heavily armoured dudes. They are pretty resilient from what I can... I mean, I've only seen their War Scroll card for Age of Sigmar. I don't know how they play in Warcry yet.
And they've got a load of wounds.
Yeah, and I think they've got a really good save. They probably don't
hit quite as hard.
I don't know, Dave. Some of these guys have got some mental.
Yeah, well, weapons. They have, haven't they? But they're not going to have like the, you know.
I thought they were Tau missile launchers then, but they're like studded shoulder plates or something.
I mean, the really detailed kits. There's actually a few options on these sprues as well.
Ah, right. Also,
only a few, right, but okay. out of the box, you can't build every combination of model.
No. I think the store manager of Games Workshop and Crew mentioned that you have to make a choice. So this makes me think I need to get another. I mean, hopefully we'll see releases for these separately.
Yeah, I mean, there's like one, maybe two models that have variant builds. In a campaign of Warcry, you can get additional guys for your warband over the course, so it probably is worth picking up a second box. I mean, yeah, and again, in Sigmar, with them being like 9-man units, 70 points are pretty good.
They're quite unusually like cut on the moulds. Like the way they're built?
I think they just try to cram as much as they can on the sprue.
It is a packed sprue.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at Chaos Dwarf.
I think they are, like, compared to like the Shadespire band you get, which you can pretty much get built up in a few minutes, these look like you will have to spend a bit more time putting your warband together.
It took me a day to build the Cypher Lords.
Yeah, they look a lot more.
A lot of cleaning involved because there's a lot more connection points.
Exactly, yeah. So it's not a quick. I think you need to take your time over these guys.
I wouldn't rush them as well because they are gorgeous models.
Do you know? I'm looking at the Untamed Beast now, and I quite like these. Looking at the pictures, but looking at them close up, they're superb.
Well, this is it. We'd originally ordered one box and we were going to split the three initial bands, but I caved and bought a second box for myself. And then it escalated and we're doing a Slaves of Darkness army. So Games Workshop are definitely doing good with the upsell on this one.
Yeah, these are amazing.
And I guess if you're on the fence, it's 100 quid for these. They're going to be 30 quid each anyway. You get the main rule book in there worth 30 quid. You get an absolute truckload of scenery.
The scenery is brilliant. I'm just looking at the scenery. This is almost phenomenal. Like the best thing in the box. There's a big Sigmar head here. Is this the same plastic or is this the?
Yeah, it's a standard GW kit.
Right, yeah.
Heck,
but it feels heavy. The scenery feels heavy.
It's fully compatible with the Azir Ruin, so you can put it together in different ways as well.
And I mean, the scenery is very detailed as well. You've got like spikes, steps. I think you showed a cool picture of the steps where you can.
So they've got connector points on all the buildings. It's worth noting the instruction manual in the box tells you to stick together parts that you shouldn't stick together. It also doesn't give all the combinations of buildings to build it to work with the game. I think the instructions included like generic ones when this eventually becomes Age of Sigmar scenery.
Yeah.
There's a few YouTube videos around with a breakdown of what to glue and what not to glue. And I'm going to build both sets compatible with the terrain cards out of Warcry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because then it's a bit more modular and you can put it together in different ways and it'll work for Warcry or Sigmar.
Do you know, I think the bell tower from this set is up there with my favourite pieces of scenery for...
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, that would be a 20 quid scenery kit.
Yeah.
The bell tower.
I'm really impressed with the scenery. I mean, this box is worth just picking up, I think, even if you just play Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, it really is. You get the bell tower, the head, you get a sprue of barricade, and then you get about 8 sprues of Azir Ruin style stuff that goes together in multiple ways.
Yeah.
The more I'm looking at this, the more I'm thinking I need to get myself a box of these myself. Because they're ace.
What's this bit here?
And I think, actually, Armies on Parade's just been announced for this year.
It has indeed.
This would be perfect for getting an army board.
All of these sprues are fully modular, so they can go away. Obviously, you can build them like you can in the Warcry rules. But, yeah, all this stuff will go together whatever way you want. There's all connector points on all the pillars.
Yeah,
there's the Dark Angels Primarch on that pillar there, Dave.
Yeah, they're like subtly different than the Ruins, aren't they? But they're still,
I think they're nicer than the Ruins as well.
Yeah,
as much as we're fans of Ray, this stuff's phenomenal. He did have input into this to make sure it all fitted with the existing scenery.
Don't go upsetting superfan Ray, because his scenery is amazing. Your scenery is amazing, Ray.
I love the flagstones on the walkways and things as well.
The barricade sprue that Jay's got as well will fit on the top of them so you can make like fortified buildings.
Right.
Really?
So there's a sprue of there, all these spiky bits are the same size as these platforms, so that'll fit there, that'll fit on that piece there. It's really cleverly put together.
That's brilliant. That's so cool.
When's Battle Tome Scenery coming out?
Battle Tome Scenery. Yeah, they are very cool. I like that chaos icon there.
There's a few skulls on this one.
The ladders and stairs are designed in such a way that a slotter base clips into them as well, which is really cool.
Yeah, this is brilliant. Really, really cool. Even if you're not a fan of Warcry and you play a lot of Age of Sigmar, you should pick this up.
I'm just looking for like little clues and any like Easter eggs we might see on the scenery. I thought I saw a different kind of skull there, but it's like a pot, I think.
No, obviously this is ruins from the 8 points, so it's more chaotic than what we've normally seen.
Yeah,
but there's signs of Sigmar. You know, maybe this was a mortal settlement at some point.
Wasn't in the War of Chaos. Archaon seized the All Points.
So Sigmar's forces had taken the realms, basically.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this is definitely
Sigmar.
The actual physical buildings themselves are very Sigmar, but the barricades are very chaos.
Yeah. Orcish, almost.
Yeah. I guess so. We've got the obligatory card poster / divider.
Yeah, this is one they've done in a lot of the games recently, where you get the full artwork without any logos or anything on, which is really nice. We should really frame some of this.
Should, yeah.
Yeah. Let's pop that in there.
And then, yeah, so even ignoring all the plastic, there's an awful lot of stuff still in this box.
Yeah, we're probably at the just over the halfway point of the box, and we're coming to sort of the tasty tokens and mats. So, what's this, one sheet of tokens?
Yep, one sheet of tokens. You get this same sheet of tokens in all of the scenery expansions as well.
Right.
So, if you don't want to buy this box, which you really want to because it's gorgeous, you can start playing the game with just whatever scenery box you pick up, whether it's the Storm Vault one or the Garden of Moor one, which I think is a nice touch.
I don't know what any of those tokens mean, but they look cool. How's the board, Jay?
The board's good. So I didn't realise it was thick, tough cardboard. I thought it was like a thinner paper sort of mat. I think you have to be a bit careful with it, but it's actually quite sturdy.
It's going to be flat down as well, but it balanced on a box there.
Yeah.
Due to demand as well, it is a matte board rather than a gloss board because YouTubers and the like were getting some glare from
they put some thought into these things, don't they? So the side that Jay's currently looking at is very much in line with the Shattered Dominion.
Yeah,
the Realm of Battle Board. Yeah.
Realm of Battle Boards. Whereas the other one's a bit darker, the other side's a bit darker.
So all of the boards across all the scenery sets have a side that matches the Realm of Battle, then the reverse is unique to that set, which will fit with the scenery in the set. Yeah. So this one, you've got the footprints of the buildings on there. The Garden of Moor one is obviously more graveyard styled.
Yeah.
The Storm Vault one's more deserty, which is nice. All these can be combined together to make a bigger board for multiplayer games as well.
Yeah. Cool. So what else we got in here? We've got some card packs. Now again, I don't know what these symbols mean.
So the way Warcry works is that you randomly generate your battlefield, your scenario, and a twist, similar to the open war cards.
Oh, I see.
So you'll draw an objective, you'll draw a twist, you'll draw deployment zones, and you'll draw a scenery layout. Which is why it's important to build your scenery in the same way. Otherwise, if you just go crazy and stick it together, You can play it that you just set up the scenery, but you're going to lose the element of the random scenery setups.
This is really
which from Sigmar we found really helpful.
Yes.
Yeah. Because even if you try and be as partial as possible when setting up scenery, you're always going to influence it in some way, aren't you?
So these cards I'm looking at the moment, these look like the objective cards, but you get a good amount of them. You've got quite a few variations when you consider you're going to be picking one card from each of these packs.
I imagine there's probably some stat on how many combinations of battle you could have, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And this is something that you can expand with further decks in the future as well. I mean, already the scenery packs come with the scenery boxes come with a pack of cards as well to randomise the scenery in that box.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at these how you set up the scenery cards, and you really want to try and avoid gluing the scenery where you can.
Yeah, there's two building structures in the instructions that you can build together. Make sure you leave the head separate, because in some of the layouts, that's just by itself as an obstacle.
Yeah.
Leave all the ladders separate, and then there's two other structures that you can see on the box, but it doesn't tell you exactly how to build them. If you just Google Warcry scenery, you can find some forum comments and some videos showing you how to build those specific ones.
Yeah.
You could play it without that. It does mention the rule book. You can make your own scenery layouts, but obviously in a competitive event, you'd have to get your opponent's permission to do so.
Exactly, yeah. So I've got here now the fighter cards. These have all their stats on them. Again, not 100% certain what each of these things mean.
Yeah, really again, cool. To make it universal so they can sell the same box in multiple countries, they're kind of pictographs rather than words. Yeah. Basically with your range, your number of attacks, your strength and your damage, and then critical damage.
So that's why your lion beastie thing here only has one, because it's only got melee attacks. Yeah. Right, I see.
You get like a little A5, is it? Maybe A5?
Yeah, a little sheet with all...
A6. Yeah, it's like a little summary of your faction with their abilities on that.
And the reverse, you've got pictures of all the models so you know what type of fighter it is as well.
And then there's another one there for the universal abilities. So these are the... So this is part of the initiative roll, isn't it, where you roll your dice, you're looking for doubles, triples and quads.
Yeah, so initiative goes to the person with the most singles, but the abilities play off doubles, trebles, etc. Which is a nice twist to it, because even though you're going first, you know that your opponent's going to be able to do some decent abilities. I quite like that.
It makes it more tactical, doesn't it?
Mm.
Wow, this is a big rulebook.
Yep, full-size rulebook in here.
Oh, that is a big rule book.
All the lore in here. There's campaign scenarios for every faction, including ones that are not in the box, such as the other Chaos factions, and the ones using standard Age of Sigmar models as well.
And a naming curve.
Yeah, name generators for every faction, including, again, the Ideneth, the Orcs, that kind of stuff.
When I was talking to Dan at Games Workshop and Crew, I think one of the things he mentioned about the Warcry rulebook, and I think we may have touched upon this last week or the week before, is if you're playing at a different speed to everybody else when you're going through the campaign, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
You're still progressing through your campaign. It's not like, right, this week, guys, we all need to get together and carry on the campaign. You could have different gaming groups going at different speeds doing the campaign, but still doing their campaign.
I was reading some of the developer comments and talking to the guys at Warhammer Fest, and they said that they're bearing in mind that a lot of people who play Games Workshop games are of our age. When we were younger, we had a lot more time to play through a campaign and commit to it for, you know, 6 weeks, whatever.
Yeah.
This is designed so you can play whatever games you can play at your own rate, but still be involved in the campaign, which is a really nice way of doing it. You can miss a game or two and not be penalised by it.
Yeah. So is this like the like a quick sheet on getting started with Warcry? I think we'll probably use this for our first game.
Yeah.
Just to get a taste of how it works. It looks like it's ideal for those that have got no idea when it comes to Warhammer. You know, even down to your basic move, how you move your fighters, what you're looking for on dice rolls. Yeah.
Interesting, it's got in here as well the Scions of the Flame and the Spire Tyrants, which are the two warbands we've just seen hinted at the moment. So it gives you a bit of background on those, which is interesting. Scions of the Flame hail from the bright mountains in northern Asperia, an ash-choked stretch of volcanic peaks under which run sulphurous subterranean caverns and magma flows.
There's lots of cool lore tidbits in here. And again, I do wonder if some of this will point towards a future Chaos Battletome.
Yeah, potentially.
The Spire Tyrants look like monster hunters, Dave.
Oh, really?
Well, they have a origin here. Monster hunters, hunted, freed ones.
CJ knows me quite well. He knew that would raise an eyebrow.
In the fighting pits of the Varan Spire, there are no such concepts as honour or valour, and none have mastered the art of sadistic slaughter as completely as the Spire Tyrants. Even the blood and thunder of the arena ceases to hold any allure for such warriors. Instead, they seek greater tests, venturing out into the lethal wilds of the Eight Points. There they look for worthy foes and challenges, hoping to earn infamy enough to gain favour of the Ever-Chosen. These champions retain their names and epithets they earned in the arena, they also maintain the arrogance and showmanship that defines the greatest gladiators, favouring bloody eviscerations, decapitations over a simple, more efficient kill. The sight of such a gruesome death can steal the nerve from even a veteran fighter.
I know these guys are not supposed to be aligned with any specific god, but that sounds like corn right there.
Yeah, so I mean, I went from originally just wanting to get the Unmade to having half an hour with this box and committing to every faction and buying Slaves of Darkness, start collecting. That's a job well done from Games Workshop if just the rule book and the stuff in here can, you know, make you go all in on a Chaos Army.
I'm currently flicking through the assembly instructions, of which is quite sizable, which is no surprise with the amount of plastic that's in this box.
There must be about 10 unique sprues in here, maybe.
And there's two iron golems here where it actually says you have to choose which one you want to build.
Yeah, I mean, I'd build the banner guy.
Yeah, you've got to build the banner guy, haven't you? And then you've got one with a bolas or twin hammers.
You get approximately, whichever way you build them, you get approximately 1,000 points, which is enough for your campaign.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. So cool.
Now, one thing that you don't... You get some nice dice in the box, but one thing you don't get is a D10 for your random name generators, which is a shame. That seems like something they should have included in the box, and maybe it's an oversight on their part.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the D10 not being a particularly common dice for people who are like new to this kind of thing. But the dice are very nice.
Yeah, well, I find sometimes with the Games Workshop box games, the dice are not that great. They're just slightly the wrong size, too small. These are big, chunky dice. I mean, they've got a weight to them as well. You get freedom colours, red, gold and black. I don't know what the significance of them are.
So you get to add additional dice to your pool using the third colour. And again, you probably need two sets of the dice with... We've got two boxes of this, so we should have enough dice to use for the different activations, and yeah.
You've got the symbol on the six as well, which I always prefer.
Yeah.
I think I need to pick up this box.
So it's £100. You can get it for £80 from Elements. Considering the warbands are 30 each, and the scenery sets are retailing for 55, plus the full rule book.
It's translucent ruler.
And it's wibbly wobbly, so you can measure around scenery.
Yeah.
Official gameplay terminology there,
wibbly
by
wobbly
Matt.
There, yeah,
wibbly wobbly.
Because obviously, a lot of these, certainly with the box out of the starter set, is quite dense scenery.
Yeah, yeah.
I am very excited to play this now. Really
super excited.
I mean, I can't read to read this book cover to cover. This rule book is incredible. Really, really good. I mean, you can tell this is going to be a really well-supported game by the quality of that.
It's premium, isn't it? It's premium.
I remember speaking to John Bracken. It was when I was on Warhammer TV, and he let me in. I was having a chat with him, and obviously he couldn't talk about the game too much, but he said that this is his favourite Games Workshop game.
That's bold.
Yeah.
That's really bold.
You've got a bunch of, 20-odd pages of background here about the 8 points, the different factions. There's a section Seekers of Power, I'm not sure what that is. There's then the rules, playing Warcry, so you've got about 25 pages of core rules. Then you've got Open Play, Triumph and Treachery, Coalition of Death, so these are two...
Multiplayer games,
yeah. Then you've got Narrative Play, there's about 10 pages there on the campaigns and what you're doing between games, by the looks of Aftermath Sequence. Match Play, so there's 10 pages of Match Play, Pitch Battles and Tournament Rules. And then there's a huge campaign section, which, judging by the titles, some of these Conquer the Forge, Curse Metal, I believe these must be different sort of chapters of a campaign you can play.
Each of the Chaos factions, the six, well, the eight really, including the two that we haven't got models for yet, get two campaigns. Then each of the Sigmar ones that we've got cards for get one campaign. You can play through the campaign multiple times and you get rewards and items. Some of them are consumable items, some of them have permanent effects.
Lastly, there's about 30 pages of background tables. So this is for all the factions that are coming out with Warcry, plus the Age of Sigmar crossover factions like the Legions and the Garsh, Gloomspite, Gits. They get their own background tables. And the background tables, if I remember rightly, these are where you can create the names for your characters, origins, backgrounds for different things. I don't know whether these give you abilities in the game.
They don't. It's more for narrative flair. So you can write a background for your army and use this as a framework.
Right. So it looks like one page per faction. Gives you a little bit more background on the warband. Yeah, I see. Yeah, there's no game. You're right, yeah. Still, it's good, though. I mean, it's...
And it's good that they've kept the three ways to play. I mean, I think I think it leans more towards the narrative,
uh-huh.
but with all the cards, it's, they've out of the gate made it good for match play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because yeah. you can add, you could have potentially a campaign box that comes out with unique cards just for that campaign.
There's like little maps where you can see the campaign takes you through the lands.
If you find the goblin campaign, I think you'll quite like that, Jay. I think they're trying to collect shiny bottles or something like that.
That's ace.
Because that's really an epic cool. quest for goblins to go on.
Yeah,
some nice artwork in this book as well.
There's a lot of new stuff and. You know, Chaos Undivided, let's call it, hasn't had that much love in Age of Sigmar.
But it's definitely got love here.
Yeah, it's definitely got love here.
Definitely got love here.
Yeah, so there's some more maps here of this must be the All Points then, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Varen Spire right there in the centre, I see. Oh, yeah, really interesting.
So basically, the Chaos factions are all vying for the attention of Archaon, who is presumably right about now massing his forces ready to kick Sigmar.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know who did the artwork. It looks very much like the Kevin Chin artwork that I very much like, which is very stylized.
Yeah,
I'll need to check that. I don't know if it is him, but it is gorgeous kind of comic book style art.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, if I wasn't really wanting to play this already, I definitely am now. Let us know what you think of Warcry. If you've had a game yet, or if, you know... What's your take on Warcry? Let us know at Sprues and Brews on Twitter, or you can go on facebook.com/Sprues and Brews. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think, or if you're planning on investing in Warcry. I know we're going to try and get some games in while Matt's away.
Yeah,
some
ready games. For the next podcast, so we can
so we can have a chat about it.
Yeah,
we might just ditch playing everything else and just play Warcry.
Well, I mean, I've watched a few battle reports online, and it seems like. Quite a quick game to play through, so I think we can get 3 or 4 games under our belt before we talk about it again.
Excellent. And then we can beat Matt when he gets back.
He'll work nails at it. We're all levelled up in our campaign. Yeah.
Definitely. Awesome. Yeah. Super excited. We haven't quite finished the podcast yet, though, because we've got our top 3 coming up next. So for this week's top 3, we're looking at ideas for TV shows, films, all based on the Warhammer universes.
Yeah, all our top pictures for Warhammer TV shows.
Yeah. So, I'm going to start off this week for a change. So my third choice is, we've been talking a lot about Warcry and the 8 points. Do you know what the 8 points would be really cool to do? Like a Crystal Maze sort of game show.
That's amazing. I'm
set in the 8 points.
Well, you can scrap my number 3 off then.
Well, was your number 3 basically the same thing?
Carry on. No, it wasn't basically the same thing.
Okay, right, okay. But yeah, anything like that. Crystal Maze, is it Fort Boulevard it used to be called?
Fort Boyard,
whatever it was. I mean, it'd be probably deadly. Most of the contestants would die.
That's half the fun though, isn't it?
Last man standing, isn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. There's a nice straightforward entry there for you.
I like that.
8 points.
8 points maze.
If you win, you get to be a member of the Vanguard.
Yeah. There you go. You could have teams, as each team, a corn team.
You could do, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's got legs.
Matt, what's the second choice?
So my third choice is an anime show in the style of the Animatrix. Warhammer 40,000, Forbidden Lore. This cool. is an anime series that tells tales of Xenos history, Chaos history, maybe even some lies about the Emperor making pacts with the Dark Gods, all done from the point of view of different storytellers that might conflict over the course of the series. So you don't quite know who's telling the truth, and they'd be short 20-minute anime episodes from different anime studios.
Yeah, very cool.
That's a really cool idea. I would love something like that to come out.
And I think it'd work best if it's ambiguous, that you don't know. Is the Emperor the good guy or the bad guy? Is always kind of an underlying theme in certainly current 40k lore, isn't it?
I mean, this is a big, and this sort of ties in with one of my things, so I won't talk too much about it now. But I think, like, sometimes I sit to Amy, I try and explain to Amy what Warhammer 40k is all about, and it is just so massive that it's impossible to tell a non-believer what's going on in Warhammer 40k. But something like that is a good entry point. Because, okay, it's a little bit of information there. And it's just, I might want to find out a bit more about that. And,
yeah. You know,
so. I like it.
Well, I'm gonna come back to my number three. I'm gonna give you my number two, and I'll try and think of another number three. Well, I'll give you my number three, and then you can use me as the first number two, because my number three was also Crystal Maze, but it wasn't Crystal Maze set in the All Points. It was Crystal Maze set in the Labyrinth. Is it Nocturnus?
Beneath Mars. Yeah.
So basically, a team of celebrities, perhaps, or just normal people, go down into the Labyrinth Nocturnus. Lots of different challenges and tasks, little rooms they go into. I'm thinking you could use Eisenhorn as like the host, because he looks a little bit like O'Brien. So that was my third choice, but obviously,
again, most of the contestants probably die.
Yeah, most of the contestants probably die.
Most that survive go mad.
Yeah, but I mean, that's good for TV. Good for ratings. So I'll jump on to my number two then, since you stole the number three. So my number two was titled Grand Designs. Not to be mistaken with the property show by What's-His-Face McCloud. This instead focuses on the ventral... Think The Office, but on the ventral spirit. So, it's your David Brent type character. And it's basically a camera crew just following around all the different staff members on the ventral spirit. So you'll have your space marines and different things like that. But then you also have your regular crew members. And the thing I loved about The Office is where you just occasionally got a member of the employees just looking at the camera like, is there something crazy just going on? He's just looking at the camera thinking, what? So you could have like bridge members on that just like Abaddon says something daft and you just see someone in the back just lean back on his seat and go in front of the camera. So that was kind of Grand Designs.
That's awesome. I like it. That's really cool.
Seeing as Jay's breaking the trend, let's go backwards.
Yeah.
Matt, what's your second choice?
So my second choice is probably your number one, but I'm going to steal it anyway because Jay's reverse polarity. And this is The Tales of Gotrek and Felix.
No.
Telling the adventures of our favourite old world duo as they go around trying to, fulfil Gotrek's oath.
I could see this as a good Saturday morning cartoon show.
Yeah.
I was going to say, are we talking like more of a, like a, not a comedy, but like
I think,
a, more
I think
of a
it'd
cartoon
be heavily comedy elements. We'd have to get...
Felix.
We'd have to get Brian Blessed reprising his role as Gotrek.
Yeah.
Who would play Felix?
Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy is Felix.
He's quite a... No, that's okay. David Brent?
It's a bit of a difference.
But yeah, I think this would be good. Not necessarily retelling the tales that we've already heard about. These would be heavily embellished from the point of view of Felix, who's obviously writing these as well.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe even have a cutaway to what's actually happening compared to his heavily flowery version that he's chronicled. And yeah, his instant regret at taking up his vow to follow Gotrek to his doom.
Cool. Okay. My second choice is a very inspired Japanese animation style.
Okay.
And that is of a human Blood Bowl team trying to win like a tournament. In very much in, I think it's called 11. It's like a Japanese soccer anime. But Blood Bowl.
Yeah.
So the trials and tribulations of this human team playing all the, each episode they're playing a different team. Until finally, like in the last episode, they're in the final.
You know what? I would love to watch that.
I think it'd be really cool. It'd have a lot of comedy in it. You know,
it'd have an awesome soundtrack.
Yeah, it'd have an awesome soundtrack. And I think the Japanese animation would fit perfectly with Blood Bowl.
Would it be narrated by Bob and...
Of course it would. I don't think you could have a Blood Bowl series without them commenting on it.
Yeah.
And it would totally be fit for something at the end, like during the credits where... They have like maybe like a trivia thing or something. I don't know.
That'd be cool.
You saw the poker app, didn't you? And things like
that's
that.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Name that Blood Bowl player.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really cool.
I want to watch this now. if you've read in Spike magazines, they have something quite similar on the last couple of pages of each issue.
Yes.
Kind of comic strip.
I've got that somewhere.
Yeah. Seeing as we've completely broken the... I'm going to jump straight to my top choice.
Go for it.
We'll go back around that way. So my top choice... Does anybody remember the TV show Cheers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheers, but with Primarchs. So they're all just in this bar, chatting rubbish, all these shenanigans going on and all these relationships and stuff. But everybody knows your name in there. I think that would be awesome.
I really hope for these like meetings for these Warhammer TV pictures are exactly like this.
Yeah, I do.
What would you call it? Would you call it Cheers? Have you got another name? Is that a working title?
It's a working title.
Cheers, but with Primarchs, yeah. Also works.
Cheers with Primarchs.
Yeah. Cheers, but with Primarchs.
Yeah, I should have really thought of a name. Never mind.
It's a working title.
It's a working title. Yeah. I think just based on the that concept, it's a goer.
Yeah.
Well, my number one is a serious one. HBO obviously wants something to follow up Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
A super gritty, super expensive, super high budget, amazing TV show. And you can't beat the Horus Heresy for this.
Yeah.
Chronicling the whole event from, you know, Istvan through to the Siege of Terror. It's got to be done.
You have your flashback scenes to where the Emperor was creating the Primarch Project, the Thunder Warriors, conquering the Unification Wars, Dark Age of Technology, you know.
In all seriousness, this is probably the end game for Warhammer TV shows. The only problem is, Space Marines are hard to do visually, aren't they?
Do you think?
Yeah, but the ratios of a Space Marine compared to a human, unless you're heavily CG and do it very well, can easily look like a guy doing cheap cosplay.
What was the name of the actor who played the Mountain? You'd have to have him playing every single Space Marine.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You'd have to do either some really good force perspective or have really good CGI.
Well, CG's come along a long way now. I mean, you can watch films like recently I watched Alita, where pretty much all the people are just like machines. It looks great. It looks great now. I think we're at that stage now where it passes.
But that makes it super big budget.
Yeah, it does. You're right, yeah.
But the Horus Heresy deserves a super...
Horus Heresy, multiple books have been number one bestsellers, and this is on all books, let alone just fantasy books. So, yeah, I can see this happening. Especially if the kind of first forays into Warhammer TV shows are popular.
I mean, you do have the human element as well, because there are a lot of human characters in the Horus Heresy.
Well, that's it. Maybe you frame it from the remembrances. You know, a lot of the Siege of Terror, the second one I've just read, Lost and the Damned, is very much from the perspective of a conscripted guardsman.
Yeah.
Which gives it that human connection. You've got a character you can relate to with all these mystical space marines kind of in the peripheral.
Yeah, I like that. I think that would be brilliant. And that also, that makes you appreciate the power of a space marine more when you're basically watching it from the eyes of a human. And I think that actually will help non-Warhammer 40,000 fans enjoy the show as well.
I don't think you'd need to be a fan of Warhammer to enjoy a Horus Heresy series. The only downside would be is if it flopped halfway through and you never got to see the end.
This is the danger.
That would be awful, wouldn't it?
Like Firefly.
Yeah, we'd have to get a Serenity, just the rest of the Heresy in one big film.
Going for it, though, we have got the current story. You know, there's no mid-season filler episodes while they're catching up.
Waiting
we know
for,
the storyline.
George R. 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 Martin to
get
on with it.
Yeah. Excellent. That's probably the most sensible choice so far.
Yeah.
Your top choice, Jay?
Hold my beer. No, actually, I've got a serious one as well. So, I don't know how familiar listeners are with Blizzard's Overwatch. And they do, I think there must be about 10 or so shorts. So these are like 6-minute animated short films, basically, that focus on a character or a particular set of characters. All computer animated. But they're incredible. I love them. And it's like a self-contained story, but it gives you a little bit of background for the whole Overwatch universe, but there's also like a beginning, a middle, and an end for these 6 minutes you're watching. So I was thinking something like that set across the whole of Games Workshop's IP. So you could have a short which just basically told the story of Archaon, where the end of the end times and these mount transforming.
Oh, imagine a short in that Kevin Chin art style.
Yeah,
it'd be amazing.
Yeah,
it would be amazing.
So just key pieces of story in the background. So parts of the Horus Heresy where Sanguinius and the Blood Angels go to the Black Rite. Just summed up in a 6-minute short, but really well animated.
And you know what? You're probably closer than any of us to what's actually going to come out of this studio. Yeah.
Well, I noticed with the Space Marine release, there was an animated trailer for the Space Marine. It was basically just a Space Marine being armored up with the blurb at the front of every Space Marine codex, where it talks about they will be my weapon. And it's just him being armored up. It's only a couple of minutes long. But you could do something like that. I mean, there could just be a short of...
Every time a new codex comes out, you get this little 6-minute film about something that's part of that new army.
But I think I would like to see... I mean, that was really good for the Space Marine, but it was just his armor going on. Whereas the Overwatch trailers, there's more of a story to it. It's more of a complete piece of fiction.
Well, like you say, you could have an episode on each Primarch.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Just given the gist of what that Primarch is with a little story.
Yeah.
You've got the idea of who they are. That appeals to the people who are not super into lore as well.
Yeah.
Because I think, let's not, you know, beat around the bush. The purpose of this is to get more people into it as well and sell more toy soldiers.
And I guess if you focused it on each of the Primarchs, it gives you a taste of what that army is as well.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, but not just Primarchs.
Characters, Eldrads.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, events and things. I think it would just be cool. And the thing with that is, as well, is they're quite easily to consume. They're only 6 minutes long. Yeah. You can just watch it on your phone on the bus. You know, you don't have to devote a whole hour and a half to watching it. You know, and an hour and a half, that's a big production, a big investment, whereas they could just... You know, it won't take as much effort to create a 6-minute short.
And again, this can exist on Warhammer TV, even if it doesn't expand to Netflix, Twitch, whatever.
Yeah. You can release collections and things. That's good, yeah. But yeah, if you have not seen the Overwatch shorts, I recommend them. They're really good.
I think I've seen most of them. Yeah, I think that's a really good show.
That's cool.
I think we got really serious towards the end.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah. So, some really good choices there, but... some of the picks that you guys have written in with are just awesome. So we're going to take a pause here so Matt can prepare his data slate, and then we're going to come back with the community choices. Matt, is your data slate ready?
It is indeed, and we've had some really, really good ones this week.
Yeah.
So we'll start with six, really, from JB Paints, who kicked this off earlier in the week. So his first one is a Brooklyn Nine-Nine style show based in a Palatine Enforcer precinct on Necromunda. How good would that be?
You need the same cast, though. You need all the original cast.
He keeps going. Friends, but with the Primarchs during the Great Crusade. A Robocop style move about Khalgar turning into a Primaris.
Yeah, well, we talked about
that. We can rebuild him better than he was before. And then he tweeted back, can't stop thinking of these now. Iandan Rim, Pacific Rim, but with Eldar Titans and Tyranids.
What? Oh, yes.
A buddy cop movie with Tyrion and Malarian. And somebody should definitely make a film set in Middle Earth.
Yeah. No, make six of them.
Yeah. Stuart Catley. The top one is going to be a Horus Heresy series with the sweep and budget of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, a short form series on a lost Cadian unit trying to find their way home. And third, and perhaps most important, a kids' TV show featuring Nurgle done in the style of Grot Bags.
Oh, yeah, that'd be ace.
It would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Eddie B, Inquisitor Ted. Ted and two Inquisitor pals, misadventures on a backwater planet. The Orifice, inside a small Nurgle cult administration team based in Slough. Arenas and recreation, inside a local team running Dark Eldar entertainment spaces. Fabius Fulgrim, Twilight, The Night Lord Chronicles, typical rom-com nonsense, a love triangle between two Night Lords and a mortal. Penal Worldbreak, a ragtag group of cons plot to escape their wrongful detention. And Narcos Kamara, a cop show investigating drug trafficking space elves. JP Riley 94, massive fan of the podcast apparently, and hoping to make it onto the top three. You are on the top three.
You are on the top three.
Life goal achieved.
Horus Heresy 10 season series named Heresy to avoid spoilers.
That'd be like the Red Wedding.
Horus is a bad guy. The End Times in a Game of Thrones style of TV series, that'd be good.
Yeah.
and a Blackstone Fortress movie with an alien vibe to it.
Oh, yeah. That would be good.
Cool. So I want to watch all these programs.
Yeah. There are some really amazing choices on there. Absolutely brilliant. Games Workshop are there with a notepad. Let's just jot these down. What is it called? Warhammer Studio Forge?
Yeah.
Story Forge?
Warhammer Story Forge.
Almost You're as welcome. Good as your name. Cheers, but with the Primarchs.
Cheers, but with the Primarchs. If anybody has a better name, just feel free to tweet them in. I'm very interested. And then I'll put this into a little document and I'll get
storyboard it
in the post. Yeah. Right.
So next couple of weeks, I'm wandering the 8 points, unfortunately, so I'm not here.
Yeah, you're going to miss episode 50 and 51.
There's going to be cake next week.
Well, actually, you might not miss episode 51. We're not quite sure what's happening the second week because I am being abandoned by both of you on that week.
Yep.
But I may potentially have something in the pipeline.
Oh, okay.
The best of sprues and brews. The best of just all copied together, all the outtakes.
Dave's schizophrenia comes back now. Yeah. And ends up podcasting with himself.
Yeah. Yes, next week it'll just be me and you, Jay.
Not just me and you, it will be me and you.
It will be me and you. So the podcast will...
So it's would argue that the best episode from now was on.
That was when the dragon was just like munching, what was he fighting?
A Skaven.
Yeah, and we had no news.
Not lots happening in that game, 2 minutes later. Oh my god!
The Mad Dragon's got one wound left. Hold on a minute. Now he's like back up to four wounds, practically. So next week's top three is going to be, because the Space Marines are going to be on pre-order, it's our top three Space Marine characters.
Yeah.
So across the Heresy, across 40K.
Not so much Age of Sigmar.
No, not so much Age of Sigmar. No Space Marines in that. Although the Chaos Dwarfs are pretty Space Marine.
There were discussions I remember reading on the forums when I was younger about Sigmar being one of the Lost Primarchs.
Well, the Albion campaign had a Bolter and a Power Fist, I believe.
Did it, right, yeah. So.
Well, there you go. So yeah, that if you've got your top three and you want to get them in early, you can do at Sprues and Brews on Twitter or facebook.com/Sprues and Brews. We've missed the top three. Talk, Matt. Just give me 2 seconds.
Ooh. Well, this is awkward, isn't it?
It is a little bit awkward, but I'll feel really bad if I don't read it out. Here we go. I've got it. Horde Master placed a comment on spruesandbrews.com with his top three. So, my top three ideas for Warhammer TV shows. Go Trek, the audiobook Realm Slayer was great and would be amazing if we get Brian Blessed voicing Go Trek in a TV show as well.
Sounds good.
That's what you said, Matt. The Yunari could be a short series of epic episodes showing the major events they have been involved in.
The fall of Beltan, wasn't it?
Their look as well would make a very good animated series, the Yunari. Yeah. And Speedwar! Road trip with Wazdaka, probably a Saturday morning cartoon.
That'd be cool. We've completely missed like a Mad Max style orc thing, haven't we?
Yeah, that'd be so cool. So, sorry, Horde Master, nearly forgot yours. It's because I was thinking, like, if you want to leave a comment on the website, you most certainly can, and that's what jogged my memory.
So this week, Dave's definitely not going to forget to put a tweet out with these top 3.
Definitely not going to. If anybody fancies sending their top 3 in next Sunday night or Monday, please do. That would be a massive help to me. Just to jog my memory, but yeah, we'll be recording again next Wednesday with the podcast release Thursday or Friday. So yeah, that wraps up quite an awesome podcast.
An episode as big as the Warcry box, I think we've got.
Enjoy Florida, Matt.
Will do.
You'll be back on the podcast in a couple of weeks, and we'll hold the fort till then. So we'll be back next week. See you later.
See you later.
Bye.